does detail the concerns we have here in Rockland, and I thank them for that.
There's no principle more important to our democracy than free and fair elections.
The whole community does gather here, so that's a really great feeling.
Hi again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, should Rockland County motorists get a break on the Mario Cuomo Bridge? U.S. Senator Charles Schumer visits East Greenbush, New York, to talk up the need for election security, and a refurbished theater in the Berkshires holds its annual gala. But first, the University at Albany has organized a school preparedness and safety summit this week. Robert Griffin, Dean of UAlbany's College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity, says it will look at the challenges and threats of school shootings.
Obviously, educating and discussions with first responders and educators about how we as a community can better respond to and recover from school events. We also have a series of trainings that are meant to be hands-on training, so things like stop the bleed, understanding emergency sign language, how to develop emergency plans.
The summit's being held at the Albany Capital Center. The Rockland County Legislature has voted unanimously on a resolution to urge a New York State panel to provide discounted tolls for Rockland residents on the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn has more.
The bipartisan vote urges the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge Toll Advisory Panel to recommend discounted tolls for Rockland Bridge users. The resolution came after the panel held two public listening sessions around mid-July, one on the Westchester side of the Tappan Zee replacement and the other on the Rockland side. Democrat Nancy Lowe Hogan is vice chair of the Rockland County Legislature.
Rockland is transportation challenged, okay? Rockland County has transportation issues. There is no easy way for Rockland residents to go to work in either Westchester or even Connecticut or New York City. And so they are, in many cases, forced to drive.
She says some 60% of Rockland residents are in this category. Lo Hogan, a co-sponsor of the resolution and South Nyack resident, says all Rockland residents should receive a discount, but discounts should be tiered.
The reason, I should say, I suggest it should be a graduated toll discount is it should be based, in my opinion, on the number of trips a person makes in any given month. So if a person goes to work 5 days a week, they would get probably the highest discount of any of the people who get any of the Rockland County people who get discounts. And it would go down from there.
She delivered similar comments to the Toll Advisory Panel session in Nyack July 18th. Republican Rockland County Executive Ed Day on the legislature's resolution.
It's always good for the legislature to do that. Sadly, it doesn't have the enforcement aspect to it, but it does detail the concerns we have here in Rockland, and I thank them for that. But the fact of the matter is, this whole issue of tolls, I am sorry, I do not agree that tolls should be increased at all, for residents or otherwise.
Tolls on the 3.1-mile span are frozen through 2020. The current cash toll is $5. For New York Easy Pass account holders, it's $4.75. The recently assembled toll advisory panel is tasked with reviewing toll rates, as well as resident and commuter discount programs and commercial vehicle rates. A New York State Thruway Authority spokesperson says all public feedback, including the Rockland Legislature's recent resolution, is welcome and will be used in combination with other factors such as fiscal information and current and projected needs of the Governor Mario M. Cuomo Bridge to review toll rates and potential discount programs. Again, Day.
So there's numerous things that could be done here. The last thing that needs to be looked at is raising tolls. This is not a New York City bridge. This is not the George Washington. That's a Port Authority bridge that has an airport and real estate attached. The bridges in the city, which almost run about close to 10 bucks now, nearly most of that money goes to support the subway system. There is only one other bridge between Westchester and Rockland, and that's the one I'm going to compare it to. And that bridge is the Bear Mountain Bridge, and it runs a buck and a half.
The July public listening sessions were the first steps in an ongoing review process. The Thruway Authority spokesperson says toll rates and any special discounts, such as resident discounts, are part of a larger budget conversation for the Thruway Authority to consider. Meantime, Day says escalating truck traffic on the bridge is a problem.
We have other issues here with the trucks. The trucks are bypassing the city now. Truck tolls should be increased, frankly. That would bring in funding because they're bypassing New York City and they're going to be punishing this bridge very, very quickly.
Lo Hogan agrees and says such truck noise must be addressed. She is working with residents along with area mayors and state legislators on the issue, and she hopes state lawmakers who represent Rockland are key to pressing for discounts for county residents. Democratic legislator Harriet Cornell, a resolution co-sponsor, says that the cost of building the new bridge and of operating the thruway system cannot fall on Rockland County residents and businesses, a viewpoint that County Executive Day has consistently echoed. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
Well, New York senior U.S. Senator Charles Schumer says he'll push for legislation in the upcoming federal budget to provide funds for local boards of elections to harden their security against potential threats by foreign governments. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
Schumer toured the Center for Internet Security in East Greenbush, just outside Albany. It's a firm that contracts with the Federal Department of Homeland Security to provide technical expertise to help local boards of elections in all 50 states as well as U.S. territories. It helps them protect their systems from hackers, including potential attacks from Russia and China. CIS is credited with first discovering evidence of Russian interference in the 2016 elections in the U.S.
There's no principle more important to our democracy than free and fair elections. Russia knows that. China knows that. And they want to interfere in our elections so people don't trust them any longer. And if people no longer trust the freeness, fairness, preciseness of our elections, this could be real trouble for our democracy.
The anti-hacking programs developed by CIS are offered free of charge, but the state and local governments need funding to implement the technology. Schumer is asking Congress to include the Election Security Act, sponsored by Minnesota Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar, in the new federal budget due this fall. It would, among other things, provide $1 billion in grants to local boards of elections to harden their systems and offer cybersecurity training for staff,
which would provide aid to the boards of elections throughout the country so that they can avoid Russian and other countries' interference in our elections.
President Donald Trump has said he does not believe reports of Russia trying to hack into U.S. election systems, and he says if there was meddling, he does not think it influenced the outcome of the 2016 elections. Senator Schumer says he does not believe that the White House is taking potential threats seriously. Schumer points out that FBI Director Christopher Wray has said he expects the Russians and others to step up efforts to try to interfere with the 2020 presidential elections.
Somehow, the administration has not really jumped. The military gets it. The intelligence agencies get it. The FBI gets it. But the White House hasn't risen to their level of alarm.
Schumer says New York is better prepared than many states to protect its elections from potential hackers. The state several years ago switched from the old-style lever voting machines to paper ballots, which are essential if hacking occurs and a recount is necessary. The senator says some Republicans in Congress are against the additional funding, but he says it's needed and it should not become a partisan issue. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
The Mehewi Performing Arts Center held its annual gala in Great Barrington, Massachusetts over the weekend, and WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes was there.
Across from the classic Mehewi marquee on Castle Street, the tent on the lawn behind Great Barrington Town Hall was full Saturday night for the sold-out gala, featuring one of comedy's biggest stars.
This is the highlight of our summer season, actually our entire year. It's stellar performance by John Mulaney, a chance to honor our past chair, Maggie Buchwald, a beautiful evening in the Berkshires, and the best of everything. We're really excited about tonight.
Beryl Jolly is the executive director of the Mehewi Performing Arts Center, the nonprofit behind the almost 700-seat theater in downtown Great Barrington. The gala, which brought in over $450,000, is more than just the emotional centerpiece of the year.
It's actually close to 10% of our contributed income for the whole year. We have a $2.5 million budget, and about half of that is contributed income. So tonight's overall ticket sales and donations is a really significant component. And it's also a chance for the community to come together and demonstrate really what the Mehewi means to them.
The center is open roughly 140 nights a year. Jolly says the variety of programming shows how the Mahewi serves a broad swath of the Southern Berkshire community.
We can have Buddy Guy one night, a school time show or a Free Fun Friday the next day, and then a classic movie or a John Mulaney event tonight.
Built in 1904, the theater's contemporary identity was cemented by founder Lola Jaffe in 2002, when the Mahewi Performing Arts Center nonprofit was formed. Formerly owned by a cinema chain, the new organization invested $9 million into the building, and it was fully renovated and reopened in 2005. Now it has a spot on the National Register of Historic Places.
Well, I started the whole thing, so yes, from the ground up.
Jaffe remembers the crumbling walls and sinking roof she confronted when she first took on the Mahewi Restoration Project, a far cry from the theater today, with its gilded, intricate designs that detail its warmly painted interior.
At that time, here in the Berkshires, there was not year-round performances. It was only the summertime, and I was determined that the Berkshires needed year-round performance.
I remember coming down here as a kid in a cold, dark theater to watch movies up on the balcony with no heat.
Smitty Pignatelli is a Democrat and lifelong resident who represents the 4th Berkshire District on Beacon Hill. He described the Mahewi as an economic engine for the region.
I think the triplex cinema changed the demographics of Great Barrington. I always said that the Mahewi Theater put it on steroids. So I think the creative economy, the culture, and the arts, I think, is large in part due to the Mahewi Theater.
I first got here because of Lola Jaffe, like so much else in the Berkshires.
Gala honoree Maggie Buchwald spent over a decade on the Mahewi's board, 6 as chair.
The main thing about the Mahewi is that it's a place for the entire community, and we try to keep some tickets affordable, and the whole community does gather here, so that's a really great feeling.
Some of the money raised at the gala will go toward a new digital projection system for the Mahewi's ongoing film series. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Well, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.